welcome to another interesting edition of Sports Africana, where we bring you the best of sports, particularly African perspective. My name is Oba Adeola Amokomo, and we're going to be taking a trip around the world of sports, particularly football. As you know, the African World Cup qualifier is about to commence in the month of March, where five representatives will be determined. And particularly of interest was this evening is the what we've termed the Jollof Rice Derby, Nigeria versus Ghana. And it's going to be exciting, promises to be explosive. As you all know, Ghana performed very well at the last African Cup of Nations. They got eliminated in the group stage. Nigeria somewhat, you know, rose due to the occasion, got to the knockout stage and got eliminated in the second round, the round of 16, which was quite unexpected. And on form, I mean, Ghana looks a bit out of form at the moment. It seems that they are building and they sacked their manager, employed someone in the interim. And the same can be said of Nigeria. Nigeria has been coached by interim manager Augustine Egbuefon at the moment to prosecute the crucial World Cup qualifiers between Nigeria and Ghana. But today we're going to be talking about Ghana. It's all about Ghana today. And I'm going to be talking to Ghana sports pundit, Edwin Titilati. Edwin, it's hello, nice sir. To catch up with you again.
Likewise.
Wow, likewise. How are you doing?
Seems I'm like good, I'm brother. Doing well. How are you?
Wow. So, it's Ghana, Nigeria. That's why we're mm-hmm. here today.
Yes.
First and foremost, let's talk about Ghana. What would you make of Ghana's performance at the AFCON? What exactly was the problem? What actually happened? What resulted in the poor performance at the African Cup of Nations in January?
Well, I think there was a number of factors. You know, first and foremost, we had a coach who was, I would say, a bit out of touch with modern football, and who was, resting on his past glories, should I say. Secondly, I think the team's preparation was not the best. They went to, I think, to Dubai or something like that, or Qatar, if I'm not mistaken, which was not conducive for, you know, the conditions in Cameroon. They would have been better served, you know, camping in Ghana or going to Cameroon early. And also the team selection, there seemed to be some sort of influence or interference by some of the stakeholders in Ghana.
And that, you know, what are the stakeholders?
Well, you have like club, the way the Ghana executive board is made up, it's made up of club owners, and people have vested interest in certain players, and they obviously want their players to be picked, because if their players get the exposure, they get better contracts, and when they get better contracts, they will get some cuts, as you know, because it's like a chain, it's like a food chain. You know, when your player gets a big move abroad or overseas, you definitely get some of that money. And when they move on, sometimes based on the clauses that's inserted in contract, they also earn a little bit more as well. So it's more to do with their own personal individual interest than that of the nation. And that's the problem. There's some very good players who have been ignored or overlooked because they don't have the right connections, or they don't have the right people talking for them. So they never get picked. This is the problem. What you saw there is not the best Ghanaian 11, and that resulted in that poor performance.
Yeah, but you will agree that quite a substantial number of the players in the Ghanaian squad are probably the nucleus of the Ghanaian squad, really.
I beg to differ.
Okay, so can you tell me some of the players that you think were missing?
Well, for example, in midfield, I felt the likes of Wakaso, who were not much fit, should not have been there. We have the likes of Duncan in Italy. And even in the local league, there's some good players like Barnier, the under 20 that won the African under 20 Cup of Nations. Yeah. If you recall, what the nucleus of the Ghana team that went to 2010 World Cup was from the winning under 20 squad, the DDIUs, the Jonathan Menzies and the Ajiman Bedus of this world. And we had a similar situation with the current under 20 that won the African, you know, version of the African Cup for the under 20s. And a lot of good materials could have been picked from there. And some of the good local players as well could have been picked to augment what we already had. Because football is not about names, it's about performance. You know, as you see, even with club football, like the Arsenals of this world, they have 19, 20-year-olds playing for them. It's not about names. It's about people who are hungry and willing to wear the shirt for Ghana and not, you know, playing to get contracts abroad. So, yeah.
Well, I guess certain school of thoughts would probably beg to differ, particularly at the mention of local-based players, because I think the same issue or the same conversation crops up within the Nigerian football circle. But be that as may, Ghana lost out at the African Cup of Nations, and that is done and dusted. Nigeria.
Yeah, but sorry to interrupt you. There were also other players who have declined national team invitations because of this black magic stories circling the team. And that is something that must be addressed by the authorities as well. Because, you know, players, certain players come down to play and they end up getting injured. And it happens time and time again. So there were stories of what transpired in some of the hotel rooms where, you know, some malams were engaged with some players, disturbing, you know, their next door, you know, roommates, et cetera, et cetera. So these are some of the things that probably you might not be aware of, but from the Ghana, you know, side of things, a lot of the players who we wanted to join the team have declined to honor invitations.
But so, you know, true is exactly what you're saying? I mean,
it's 100% true. But at the end of the day, they are all adults. You cannot stop people from doing what they want to do, but you can also decide not to invite such players. I think if the team is to progress, or if the Ghana national team is to get back on the footing that it used to have, then they have to weed out that sort of practice. Because if Juju played football, Haiti and Benin would have been world champions by now. So, you understand? We need to be serious. We need to realize that hard work and talent is what will take you to the top. And all these sort of... I mean, everybody has their belief. I don't want to disrespect anyone. But that should not overtake the core principles of what is needed in sports or entertainment or football, for that matter. Because when the Stephen Appiahs of this world went to the World Cup for the first time, it was just sheer hard work. That's what took Ghana to that level. It wasn't all this juju stuff that has been happening in camp. So I think they need to weed it out. In 2013, we had a coach called Stefanovic who made mention of this issue. And I don't think it's been rooted out. So they need to clamp down hard on it. Whether they will do that, I'm not sure. Probably that explains the reason why the team list is not out yet. So
we're going to come to that. Now, okay. from your Ghanaian perspective, mm-hmm. what do you think of Nigeria?
Nigeria is Nigeria. You know.
What do you mean, Nigeria is Nigeria?
Well, we always deal with Nigeria. It's never been a problem for us.
I don't think it'll be a problem this time around.
Yeah, but when you start talking plenty, that means you're scared. I've seen on Twitter today, Amokachi talking about the pitch and all the rest of it. You know, whether it's a neutral ground, whether it's played in Ghana, I don't think it will make any difference. But because they're clamoring for a neutral ground on the basis that the Cape Coast pitch is not suitable.
But to be honest, that pitch is, I mean, anything, it's atrocious, to be honest.
Yeah, but granted, I mean, is it not two sets of teams that will be playing? Would affect that.
Why couldn't they use the Babaya Stadium or the Accra Stadium? What's wrong? Those are the two that we are aware of.
The Babaya Stadium is being considered as well. I think the CAF inspector left Ghana today. So I am sure by tomorrow or latest Friday, we would know which venue they've settled on. But the ideal situation would be the Baba Yara Sports Stadium in Kumasi. You know, that is also a...
Why was that stadium overlooked in place of Cape Coast? I mean, does it...
I wouldn't say overlooked. I mean, I'm not based in Ghana at the moment, but the World Cup qualifiers were all played, the home ones were played at Cape Coast. But the thing is, you know, the levels of maintenance that we have in the West, which we take for granted, is not what we have back home. You know, when we hosted, you know, Kano 8, Cape Coast Stadium, Sekendi, Tamale, were all newly built stadiums, but they haven't been maintained. And, you know, it's just gone bad. Even the Accra Sports Stadium, which you mentioned, is used for social events as well. I mean, you could say that about Wembley, but Wembley is well maintained. But the Accra Sports Stadium is not. Similar thing with the Baba Yara Sports Stadium in Kumasi, which you mentioned. But I think that work has been done on it. And I think that one is of a good standard. Secondly, I believe Nigeria FA requested for 10,000 tickets. Cape Coast only has a 15K capacity. So obviously, you know, an away team is not going to have more supporters than a home team. So I think if we're looking at it from an objective point of view, Baba Yara Sports Stadium, I think, will be the perfect setting for the game. But as I said, the final decision rests with CAF and FIFA. And then we should hear the final settlement of venue in the next 2 days.
Current form, though, Nigeria looks better than Ghana. And let's be objective.
If we were to go
by AFCON.
Well, AFCON is not, because AFCON is finished. You didn't win AFCON, did you? So that you can't go by that.
But the team looks better. I'm just saying, if we're to compare and contrast the team.
And I'm telling you, the team you saw at AFCON is not the team that you're going to meet. So if you think that your preparations is based on the team that you met at AFCON, and you're looking at those tapes and analyzing it, then you'll be in for a rude awakening. I've just given you the backdrop as to why the Ghana list is not out yet. So for me, if you're going to war and you don't know the strategy of your opponent, I wouldn't speak so confidently ahead of the game, because it's a derby and form is immaterial. If you quite remember, when we played at Brentford many years ago, Nigeria back then was very strong. Ghana was on the way up. Nigeria felt that it was the time to meet Ghana, and we all saw what happened, and that was a neutral venue. So all this talk about, you know, let's play neutral venue, I think be careful what you wish for. Because if we bring the talent that I believe that we have, and if Otu Addo is able to marshal the boys, because he has been working as an assistant for a while, even though he did not go to AFCON. But, I mean, with international teams, you only get a few moments with them. And if he picks the right personnel, trust me, you know what time it is, man. Ghana definitely will win that first encounter. And if we win that first encounter, it's a huge advantage for us. And I believe we can go out and hold a draw, because any top player in the world would like to play in the World Cup. So it's by no means a done deal, you know, because a lot of Nigerians felt you won your group easy. So you were going to win AFCON, and you saw what happened. Teams can shock you. So I would err on the side of caution and say that on the balance of things, I would say it's 50-50. Things will be much clearer after the first leg. Because after the first leg, it's like halftime. And we would know if this Nigerian team is like the one that went to the 2002 World Cup, if you recall. I think that one was a done deal after the first leg, and the second leg was just for pride, if I recall. That was Korea. Was it Korea? Japan?
2002.
2002. Yeah, we played Nigeria, and Nigeria qualified, if my memory serves me
Yeah.
right. So, yeah, but the fact that Otuadu is keeping his cards close to his chest, if I was Nigeria, I would be very worried.
Right.
Because Ghana is not short of talent, as you know. Even in the Premier League, we have the boys who are sparkling in the Premier League, doing it big. You have Salisu in Southampton, who has refused call-ups. Now, if Salisu finally decides to come, whether for the first leg or second leg, it changes the dynamics hugely, because he knows all your strikers that you're going to present, and he's going to deal with them comfortably. You've seen him in the EPL. He takes no prisoners. Amate as well plays with a couple of your guys at Leicester. We know your boys, but the point is you don't know what we're bringing to the table, because no one knows the Ghana team yet. You can speculate all you want, but there will be some new faces in that team. And I think if they bring in the right personnel, that's why I repeated the right personnel, because a lot of the boys went to AFCON not marked and they were never used. The likes of Wakaso were taken there because of experience, were never used because they were not match fit. So if selection is based on merit, you're going to see a very different Black Stars, believe you me.
Right. Talking about the team not being released yet to the media, even though I know by now CAF, they would have sent the list to CAF because that is required.
To FIFA,
To
not to
FIFA,
CAF.
rather. Yeah, to FIFA. They would have sent the list to FIFA. Why is Ghana not releasing it? From what do you think is the reason why the list has not been released?
Well, you mentioned earlier on in your submission that we got rid of Milovan Rajevic, and there was a bit of politics involving who to, take the seat. And they settled for Otuado in the interim for these two matches. So I don't know what Otuado is thinking, but I know that they've been talking to some of these players who are eligible to play for Ghana but have stayed away for one reason or the other. So unless it's a two-way thing, you speak to someone, they say, okay, I will come. It's another thing coming. It's like when you send an invite for a party, not everybody who received the invitation will turn up. So they need to know for certain who is coming, who is not. And based on that would, form his opinion or his final decision onto the squad that he's bringing, because he has a few days to get the team ready for the first leg, if that makes sense. Because at the moment in Europe, a lot of the teams are very busy. There's Champions League football going on right now as we speak. The Premier League is hotting up. We have, people like your Mane and Salah of this world, all African boys. You have the Chelsea brigade as well, all busy fighting for, trophies or positions, Champions League spots in other leagues as well, the French league, the German league, and the Dutch league as well. We have a player called Mohamed Kudus. I don't know if you've seen Kudus play.
It's
Kudus
for
was not,
Ajax, isn't
yes,
it?
Kudus was not, yes, he, Kudus was not at AFCON, but he's a very key player for Ghana. If I see Kudus on a pitch, I can boldly say that 80% the game is won already. And you have Kudus and you have Partey. You know what time
Yeah,
it
but we saw Partey
is,
at AFCON, so I mean, all these names that you're mentioning, it's not that we don't see them, so.
No, you didn't see Kudus at AFCON,
No, I
because
said
what
we
I
saw
tell you,
Partey. So
but football
we
is a team
saw
sport. You
Andre Ayew.
were basing your talk on the fact that Andre Ayew is not eligible to play in the first leg, by the way, because
True.
he's red carded, and I think Benjamin Tete as well. But my point is this: there's a lot of players eligible to play for the Black Stars. They're playing very good football, who were not called to the party. If these boys are called to the party and they honor the invitation, you will see a very different Black Stars. It's what I said to
So
you.
you're talking about
So,
as many as how many players do you, I mean, with
about
every
eight. About eight.
Eight players.
About eight players, yes. It could be more. But I'll take myself out because I'm a bit old to play football. But on a serious note, I think that it's a very dicey situation and you cannot rule anything out at the moment.
Interesting. So, question. So, what is the role? I mean, as I did mention earlier on, there were so many issues surrounding the appointment of a manager, either between Otto Addo or Chris Hughton. So, I mean, there were stories that the GFA favored a person to the other.
Well, let me give you a bit of backdrop to that. The thing is this. The GFA are enabled by FIFA to have complete autonomy in appointment of coaches, calling players, etc., etc. But the team is financed by the government. Now, you cannot, you know, they have this adage, he who pays the piper calls the tune. You cannot, on one hand, say that the government should fund the team, but then the government has no say in who manages Ghana. Because if they're going to pay someone, they need to pay someone who can do the job. If you're an employer, you pay someone to do a job. If they cannot do the job, how are you going to pay them? This is the thing. Because Milovan was not the government appointment. It was a GFA appointment. And I think he flopped. You know, there's been a few of those appointments which is not the choice of the Ghana government or the sports ministry. But because the GFA, you know, president wants it, they gave him his wish. But we cannot afford to be pumping money into the Black Stars whilst we're not getting the results that we need to get from the Black Stars. So there comes a point where there has to be a bit of compromise. This is why they've gone in for the interim measure of Otto Addo, because Otto Addo has been with the team. He knows the team. It's not something totally new to him, the boys. And he also knows some of these boys playing in Europe that he would like to call upon. And the fact that he was not part of the AFCON brigade, that is a positive in terms of the players that would like to honor the invitation this time around. So that is where we are, if that answers your question.
So if you are to if you are to warn Nigerians, I mean, if you are to touch, what do you think we should expect from that we should expect from Ghana when they face Nigeria?
I think you will find out that the Ghana team will be very motivated, because I mean a World Cup spot is every player dreams of doing the ultimate. And these boys are no different from the stars that we've enjoyed coming from the African continent. I mean, if you're a professional footballer and the highest, you know, stage that you can exhibit your craft is the World Cup, I don't think you need any other motivation, really. You know, you win this two legs and you'll be at the World Cup. I mean, especially after, you know, COVID, that, you know, we're now returning back to normal. Everybody, you know, football is loved by everybody. And now that people will get a chance to interact with one another without wearing masks and all the rest of it, what best opportune time would a player from Africa get than to represent your country at the highest stage? So he's a no-brainer, really. At the end of the day, the best team will qualify for the World Cup. I respect Nigeria immensely. I know they have talented players. And I also know that the Ghana boys would be ready and they'll fight tooth and nail for that. They're not going to hand the ticket to Nigeria on a silver platter. So may the best team win. But as I said to you, if you think that the Black Stars you're going to meet is the one you saw at AFCON, then, my friend, you are in for a huge shock, because players do make a difference. That's why I mentioned one, Kudus Mohammed. If that boy turns up for me, he reminds me of my idol Abedi Pele. You know, he's in that sort of mode. He can conjure things, and obviously, everybody needs a dancing partner. If he's in the team, I think you will see more of Pate being more free, because you have Baba Idrisu as well, who can hold the midfield. And yes, we also have Duncan, experienced player that plays in Serie A, plus a few others that they might call upon. There's, you know, I mentioned to you, there's a local player, Barnier, that plays for Accra Asofok, that I particularly like, you know, and Ishaku, who was also at AFCON, although he had a cameo role as well. So I think the main problem for the Black Stars has been the departure of Asamoah, you know. So if they get any decent striker in there, I really think that it changes the dynamics of the team completely. But at the moment, it's difficult to give any sort of prediction as to the shape of the team, because we haven't seen the squad. So it's like when you're walking blind, you can't say this and that. But we know the pool of talent that they can make their selection from. So I think that if the right personnel is invited, and if we get some of the missing players who did not make it to AFCON for one reason or the other to turn up this time, the eligible ones, I think Nigeria is in for a tough time, 100%.
And right for the tough time, okay. And talking about the game itself, now, what is the general opinions, feelings of Ghanaian football fans and the media alike at this particular point in time? Is it mixed, or is there that belief that something could come out, something good could come out of this for Ghana?
Everybody, you know, will definitely root for their country. Who doesn't like the World Cup? Personally, you know, I would say to you, the 1990 World Cup is one that I'll never forget. And, you know, that was because Cameroon was in it. It wasn't Ghana then. But back then, it was very difficult for an African team to make it to the World Cup, because we only had about two spots, if my memory serves me right. You know, now it's changed a lot. You have five countries representing Africa, and if they increase the numbers, then the number of, you know, entrants for Africa will change as well. So every Ghanaian is optimistic that, you know, the Black Stars will make it. It would give a lift to the country, because as I said to you, COVID has put a dampener on things, and the current economic climate is not great either worldwide, you know. Petrol prices and all that going up. Football changes people. It changes the mood. You understand? And, you know, it's like the God factor. If the team is winning, at least it gives, you know, a lot of the guys and the supporters, the fans, the media, everybody, including the president, because he loves football, it gives everybody a lift. So there's a lot riding on it. You know, we want to secure that soul ticket for many reasons, because investment in football is lacking in Ghana at the moment. This is why you mentioned the pitch. Back then, if funds were invested properly, we wouldn't be having this talk about a pitch, because football is played on a pitch. If you don't have a pitch, how can you play? You know, so if we qualify, we would get the funding from FIFA. It wouldn't just be for the team's preparation, but some of it will also go to grassroots football. That is where it all starts. You know, if there's investment in grassroots football, more talent, because we don't lack the talent, is there, but they need the avenue to exhibit that talent. If they don't have the football pitch, how are they going to play football? So a lot rides on this. You know, once you qualify for the World Cup, you get a lot of funding. You also attract better sponsors. It's a knock-on effect. So it's huge. Really is huge. Yeah.
Wow. So the expectations are high from the Ghanaian perspective. Well, on that day, we will know whether it's Ghana jollof rice or Nigeria jollof rice. Obviously, I'm rooting for Nigeria to go all the way. But like you said, the better team would win. I mean, the better team win. And well, we'll be back to talk about this. So thank you very much, Edwin.
It's been a pleasure.
And giving us this update on the Ghanaian Black Stars.
Yes.
Yeah. So So there you have it. We've come to the end of Sport Africana, where we're talking about the World Cup qualifiers and the different games will be played across Africa. As you know, there'll be DR Congo versus Morocco, there's Mali versus Tunisia, there's Cameroon versus Algeria, Egypt versus Senegal, which is just the repeat of the African Cup of Nations mm-hmm. final, and of course, the Jollof Rice Derby, Nigeria versus Ghana. Until we come your way again, where we talk another interesting topic, please do not forget to subscribe to our podcast, and you can listen to us on all the podcast directory, such as Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, and many more. All you just need to do is type in Sport Africana on your media space, and it will come up, and subscribe to us as well too, so that whenever any new edition or episode drops, you'll be notified. So have a wonderful day and stay blessed.